Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Back to Stevens, charges to the bucket, fires it, got it. Dick says it, basket counts on the foul. Down the lane, at the wire, he's got it. Basket counts, and the Nittany Lions will go to the locker room with a 38-27 lead.
Dread Stevens against Brazdeikis. He wants to drive a crossover there. Down goes Brazdeikis. Kicks it out far corner. Dread 4-3. Gone.
He's been awesome tonight. Get this man some shots.
Wheeler down the floor. Looks for help. Finds it in Stevens. Charges to the bucket. Runs into Teske. No. Tipped in by Watkins. Penn State leads 60-51.
Watkins needs to kick it out. Fires instead.
Buzzer and got it on the baseline. A turnaround 15-footer. Penn State by a dime.
And now for the icing. In the air. That one is in and out. Rebound Livers.
And the Nittany Lions have done it. Number 6 Michigan is gone. And on a cold, snowy night in State College, it's an avalanche of students on the floor at the Jordan Center.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of this group. You know, we could have. There's so many other ways we could have gone, right, guys?
Yep.
And they chose to believe. They chose to show up. They chose to continue to work hard. They chose to stick together. They chose not to listen to the nonsense on the outside. And we got better. We got better. We were getting better in practices, and you guys have been with me. We were getting better in games. We haven't seen the results that we wanted, but we were still getting better. And that's a credit to Lamar Stevens and Jamari Wheeler was fantastic. So many guys stepped up with so many different parts over the last couple of weeks that if we can keep this going and keep competing, we're going to give ourselves a chance to win some games down the stretch.
That was last night here on WKOK. Steve Jones, Dick Girardi in the Bryce Jordan Center, and postgame with men's basketball coach Patrick Chambers as Penn State knocked off number 6 Michigan. Talk more about that as we get through the day. Sean Carey here, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, our Wednesday edition, February 13th. And you can get in contact with us with your email, stevejones@wkok.com. You can find us on social media, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our website, stevejonesshow.com. You can access 3 months of shows there. Plus, we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, or Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe. And once the shows are done live on WKOK, we can drop them right into your smartphone and tablet, so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. By the way, we will have a little more with Steve and Patrick Chambers as we go through the proceedings today. We're also going to continue. We're going to do the back end of our two-part interview with Steve and Ben Kershaval, a college football writer for CBSSports.com. Also, Ben is all in on the AAF, the brand new Alliance of American Football that premiered last weekend. So we'll put a bow on that two-part conversation with Steve and Ben coming up later in the show. And another Ben Jones, Penn State writer, statecollege.com, will get his reaction from last night's Penn State victory over Michigan. And football conversation as well. The Antonio Brown saga continues, and we'll get reaction from our great buddy Neil Coulong from NFL Wire and USA absolutely. Today. He'll be with us later on, too.
Absolutely. So they won last night.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, they won.
Yeah.
Very good. Terrific. Look.
We were all kind of wondering, when was the last time John Beerlein got tossed from a game, and John U. Bacon kicked out that question on social media. But, yeah, good find by you and DJ during the broadcast. Back 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years. What, 1979? Erie Community College. Okay. But you know what? If I've said it once, I've said it maybe 50 times in my career. John Beilein is one of the absolute good guys in this business. He would be a guy that if I ever heard there was a single slice of impropriety, I would be shocked very few things shock me. Okay? Very few things shock me. If I ever heard John Beilein was one of the guys that was one of the, quote, bad guys in the business, I'd be in shock. I don't know what... I think I know what he was mad about. And I think it was, I believe, the screen that Wheeler said on Simpson. And it's not a question to me of whether Wheeler's set. But you do have to set it when you do screen. It's a lot like, I'll give you an example. Remember in the first half of the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl? And the Rams blew up a play where the ball was caught and boom, immediately was tackled and they gave a personal foul penalty. Remember that play? It was in the first half. And the rule is, in other words, he's a defenseless player. He needs to see you coming. Well, Simpson is not really looking, and boom, Jamari sets in, boom. I mean, and Simpson went down hard. So that's John's point guard. That is, you know, obviously one of his team leaders, and he felt that his point guard didn't see it, not because he was not because he was just flat out wasn't paying attention, but because he just didn't have a chance. He, boom, and down he went, and he went hard. I think that's what he was upset about. Now, conversely, so he gets the tee from Paul Zelk, and then whatever John did after that, both Lewis Garrison and Paul at the same time teed him, so it had to have been, I got my money's worth. But he also watched his team get rung up for 40 points in the first half. I mean, Penn State had a 40-point half. They only had 20 in the first half against them in Ann Arbor. When you've had so many close games, so many close losses, that you... And when you talk about being a possession away, you're a possession away. It's not just... Everyone thinks you're a possession away, it's on offense. You know, I get it, but that's, you know. After a while, I stop getting what people don't get, but that's okay. Maybe because I'm around it so much that what I think is second nature and common sense, if you're not around it all the time, you don't know. But being a possession away could be a defensive possession. It could be an offensive possession. Or it could be a special teams possession, inbounds play, base OB, SOB, it's not what you think, sideline, out of bounds. Okay? Could be that. But last night, you have to win the two lines in this game these days. That's a big part. Take a look at box scores. If you add up the point totals of the free throw line and the point total from the three-point line, you'll find that, let's be conservative here, 8 times out of 10, the team that wins the two lines wins the game. I'll say 8 out of 10. Penn State won the two lines last night, 39-33 plus 6. What was the final score? Plus 6. Penn State could have scored in the 80s last night if they'd been better at the free throw line. Now, there is a minimum standard, and Penn State did meet the minimum standard at the free throw line down the stretch. You're like, well, what's the minimum standard? They got to make free throws. When you are protecting your lead, you cannot go 0 for 2. And not one time, despite the ups and downs of the free throw line, not one time was Penn State 0 for 2. Each time they at least came away with a point at the free throw line. So they never went 0 for 2. Now that's a minimum standard. You want to see them exceed the standard and just keep knocking down free throws. That's what they need to do. They also, and Patrick will now have some time to go over with them again what he wants in the inbounds. Penn State was too crowded on those inbounds plays last night. Too crowded. Spacing wasn't right. And if you recall the Duquesne game, which is the other game which a coach got tossed out for two technicals, but it was different than we did again. Different guy, different kind of coach. Penn State in the first half of that game struggled with Duquesne's press, and then Patrick made the change and waved everybody up the floor, and he had Lamar come back at the ball and had Lamar bring the ball up the floor. For Lamar Stevens, you'll see the 26 points last night that he scored. And but it was more than that. He equaled a career high with 12 rebounds. He had three block shots. Two of them, by the way, spectacular down the stretch. He had three assists. He had no turnovers. He committed no personal fouls. I mean, that's the last part you look at. He didn't have a turnover in the game. For a guy that handled the ball as much as he did in last night's game, he did not commit a turnover. And with all the defense he had to play, especially when Penn State's in that small lineup, when Penn State plays that small lineup, he has to play the five spot, which means physically he's getting outmanned out there. And he still didn't commit a personal foul last night. The small lineup Patrick tinkered with in Cancun. He went away from it, and in the last three or four games, he has brought it back. Right now, there's not a lot of tape on this. But when you put Lamar Stevens, now he has to move over and play five. Miles Dredd has to move over and play three, and Josh Reeves has to move over and play four. So you have, there's a domino effect on positioning on the floor. But if you can defend the big guy, and Lamar has been forced to do that, if you can do that, now you have a really quick defensive team out there. You also, that is, and by nature, because of that, it's going to be quicker in its rotations. And then, of course, you then become quicker and tougher to guard offensively when he puts that group on the floor. Now, he's done it in segments. Dick felt Patrick could have gone to it sooner last night in the second half. But he's done it in segments. And I know it's so easy to talk about coaching. You know, when it comes down to coaching, you always hear about the last play of the game, the last sequence of the game. You always hear about that. It's always the last one. And of course, I just sit there and shake my head. That's just a tiny part of it. Doing something like this, where you then say, okay, we're going to go to the small lineup because analytically I see it, the combination works, we're going to do it. And to do it now, it's a lot like what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. You know, John Harbaugh received a lot of praise of like, good, Lamar Jackson, there, you know, nobody else is doing that. Nobody has a lot of tape on it. It's the same story with the small line of Penn State's playing. There's not a lot of tape in them doing it. And it's paying huge dividends for you right now. Now that's called coaching. Not what you run with 5 seconds left, 94 feet down the floor. What kind of play was that? I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. All right, fine. Got it. Okay. And once again, I'm the big person at the tailgate. Okay, we will come back with more in a moment. I mentioned Neil Coulong. We're going to have the second part of our interview today with Ben Kirschevel on the Alliance. Friday, Patrick Chambers will join us on the show, along with Ben Jones. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. at a holiday party back in December. They started playing this. And when the suit got up on the table and started swinging his white jacket around, a lot of people left. All right.
Oh, so that happened before he sat down. Okay. I must have been getting a beer at that point.
I mean, obviously, I'm not a big drinker, but even I had eight. No, I can't take this. All right, so we're getting emails, Facebooks. What do we got here?
Yeah, we have a couple here. Yeah, we got some here in the email basket. Steve Jones at WKOK.com. One's a real lengthy one we can get to later. One we have from Matt. Matt said he was at the game last night, one of the most exciting sports events I've ever been to. I was there with a few friends, including one who grew up in Michigan and is a Michigan fan. He said he has never seen their coach get upset like that. And we're wondering what it was that made him so mad. You'd address that at the top of the show. Also, every time I go to a game...
It's what I think it was. I think that's what he was upset about. Yeah.
And also, every time I go to a game, I try to figure out where you're doing the broadcast. I haven't been able to figure that out. That's from Matt.
Living room in front of TV. No. if you look up in at section 123... that's where we are. I think they have the alma mater there. I think the words "may no act." That's where I'm sitting. Now we'd like to move down to the court, but they haven't been able to accommodate that yet. But yeah, that we're in 123. And if you look up at the alma mater, it may no act, that's where we're sitting.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight too. Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month.
I wanna see you in a Kia.
Fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month. Both for 39 months. All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease are 39 months, 10,000 miles per year, $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we've got a lot to get to here. Okay, I got Jamie's, let's see. Boy, we got a lot of emails here, don't we?
Yeah, busy week. Steve Jones at WKOK.com.
Sean's great. Who's the other guy with him? Oh.
I didn't get that.
Oh.
Must have been sent directly to you. Yeah. Wait, let me check my spam. Probably ended up in my spam.
Yeah.
Jamie. Yeah, she says you do an outstanding job calling each Penn State athletic event.
I got it up on my phone here.
You got her? Okay.
Okay. So I appreciate the compliment, Jamie. It means a lot to me. Thank you. You talk about the ability Penn State has to get wins like this, Virginia Tech, Michigan, but not enough wins to get to the tournament. The inconsistency that you can lose to a Rutgers, correct. And the fact that they can go out and boom, they can get a win like last night. And she doesn't think, I'm going to assume Jamie is a woman, so I apologize. Jamie doesn't think that Patrick Chambers is the answer, because they have not been able to get to the NCAA tournament. Jamie's followed Michigan basketball for a long time and felt that this was going to happen about a month ago. Sure, they can pull off a token marquee victory, but they'll turn around and lose to a team like Rutgers 3 days later. And so go from there, right? Okay. Number one, let's start with last year's team, okay, which won 26 games. They won the NIT. Jamie, that team should have been in the NCAA tournament. Should have been. And you do run into a problem. I don't care what that committee says. 2009 should have been in, that won the NIT, and last year should have been in. It doesn't last for whatever reason. What did the Big Ten get in last year? Four teams? This year they're talking about many as seven or eight. Last year the Big Ten got four. Really? And I could have picked out a dozen teams right away that I knew Penn State was better than. Right away. There's a reason why Penn State finished 19th in the analytics last year in the KenPom ratings. So sometimes you don't make it because you're only Clemson in basketball. You're only Penn State basketball. Right? And that does happen. If you don't think that doesn't happen, don't be naive. Don't be naive. You've got to understand that, you know, like look at Indiana this year. Indiana's considered to be an NCAA tournament team. Who was better, last year's Penn State team or this current Indiana team? They're not even the same category. They're not even the same category, this year's Indiana team. But if you hit the wrong year, wrong time, and your conference is perceived as, and the Big Ten usually gets seven or eight teams. They got four last year. Four. So they should have been in last year. So what they did was, when you win the NIT, you got to remember this. You go out and you win the NIT because you beat other bubble teams. Notre Dame was a bubble team, beat them their place. Marquette was a bubble team, beat them. Mississippi State was a bubble team, beat them. Utah was a bubble team, beat them. That's what the NIT is. If, you know, the NIT is a series of, especially if it's Power 5, because those are all Power 5 wins. Well, not, you know, Marquette's Big East. But if you're a Power 5 team and you're in the NIT, especially if you're a 1 seed or a 2 seed, you're an absolute bubble team. They beat all bubble teams to get there. Reputations mean something along the way. Why is it that Oklahoma, Jamie, Oklahoma last year lost seven of its last nine games last season and made the tournament? Really? Oklahoma this year was on a five-game losing streak, and they're still in the bracket. Why? You got to look just deeper than looking at the easy stuff on the surface. And there's no doubt this year's record is not great. But believe me, you talk about coaching ability, things like that. There are just a number of things where I could sit here and bore you to death where I know coaching ability makes a difference because I'm around it every day. I'm in film sessions. I know what they're looking for. I know what they're looking at. So while I completely understand your point of view because you want to see Penn State in the tournament year in and year out, nobody wants that worse than I do, Jamie. I'm not going to get into how many games I've done in my career, and I'm not going to get into how many NCAA games I've done in my career. I would love to be there year in and year out. I know what you're saying. I think he has absolutely upgraded the talent level here in a conference where the talent is very competitive. And this year's team is not like some other teams I've done, where there have been 5 to 10 of those 15 to 25-point losses. You can sit there. They're just not competitive, not good. That's not this team. And last year's team obviously was a really good team. Sometimes you just don't get the opportunity. And I don't care what they say about, well, we sit down in the room and we look at it. Oklahoma lost 7 of its last 9 games last year, and they had no problem getting into the tournament. In fact, it may have been worse than that. This year, you got to ask yourself, why did these teams do it? Sometimes it's picking up a big non-conference win. Okay, it resonates all year. I mean, look at Indiana. They're considered an 8 or 9 seed right now. You got to be kidding me. And it's a very thoughtful email, though. Appreciate that. Let's see. Matthew was at the game last night. Exciting. There with a few friends. Grew up in Michigan. Never seen the coach get teed up. I think we already covered Matthews, right?
Yes.
Oh, I tried to figure out where I am for the broadcast. Okay, got that one. Where's the other one here? There's more here.
Yeah, we got one from Rob, and he was at the Penn State hockey game over the weekend.
Okay, Rob. Let's see. Where's Rob here? Rob. I'm doing this on my phone. There's Rob. Replay killing games. Rob, I'm with you, buddy. Steve was at the Penn State men's hockey game on Saturday, and I was there too, Rob. And I think that we are getting review happy with our rules. We are now reviewing too many men on the ice in college hockey because a guy was or was not within 5 feet of the bench. Do you see a point where sports realize that some of these reviews are getting excessive? I realize puck crossed the line or not, that's good. I'm with you, Rob. But players within 5 feet of the bench, they are changing. It is not does not have an effect on the play. I don't care. Excellent point, Rob. Other thing is, why are the leagues so opposed to showing replays of the crowd? So far, Rob's hitting all the right buttons here. I was at a Tampa Bay Lightning game, and Tampa had no rooting interest in either team, and they made a call offsides and took away a goal. The only replay they showed in the arena was good. When I went to the NHL website, it showed the reason it was offsides was a player was changing and his skate was still on the ice inside the blue line. If the Reds said that during the call as well, it would have made better sense. But hockey refs only say no goal. Wouldn't that make a better experience? Boy, Rob, do I need to comment on all these? I mean, I think Rob's commenting perfectly himself. So let's just take that part. Here's what they're doing with replay. One of the great elements of sports to me is spontaneity. Something big happens, we go crazy. Now we're at a point in the last few years where, the replay, confirms, they're taking the spontaneity out by reviewing every single thing. Everything's getting reviewed. Oh, it's been confirmed. Oh, good. Okay, great. Oh, for goodness sakes, Rob, you're so right. And in terms of explanation, yes, explain it. Just tell us. And in terms of showing it, show every replay. I've said this over and over again. Football, basketball, hockey. Show them all. What's your fear? No fear. Okay? This isn't a Premier League soccer crowd. Sorry, Sean. Okay? Show them. You've got to make the stadium, arena, rink experience better than the home experience. You've got to give everybody in the stadium or the arena what they deserve. Let them see it. Another subject, parking, but not parking as you think. I would love to hear how other places have parking set up. Oh, okay, that's a good question. I say that because people expect close parking, but I know the NHL Winter Classic was not too long ago and people had to shuttle buses, and that was Notre Dame. So I looked at the general parking map, and it looks like it looks typically they always shuttle. They do. So I'm curious around huge stadiums how it is handled. Thanks for listening. Love listening. Even my kids like listening to the podcast. We love the pickles. We love the dills. Okay, never been, but I would like to try it at some time. All right. So I think I covered the other stuff, okay? Rob, you and I have zero disagreement on anything you said. The parking in other places, that's what's interesting about Penn State. Now, I know it's grass lots, and that's the issue. But Penn State's parking situation, in terms of the actual lots in proximity to a stadium, is actually really, really good here. When you go to a place like Notre Dame, there are certain parking lots you can walk over, but at the same time, they do a lot of shuttling. Michigan, they have Pioneer High School across the street, and they have the Michigan golf course, and they park cars in the rough at the golf course. Alistair McKenzie, who designed Augusta National, rolls over in his grave every Michigan home game because he designed that golf course at Michigan. Iowa's a lot of parking garages up around the hospital area and so forth. Wisconsin doesn't have a great parking situation. Shuttle buses getting in, out, parking garages, things like that. Wisconsin does not. Nebraska. Nebraska has a pretty good parking situation, but it's also crowded around their stadium as well. Let's see. Michigan State. Michigan State parking is not that bad. Ohio State parking is no better than okay. Because part of the problem is you see where Beaver Stadium is. Okay, let's talk about the plus. There's not a lot around Beaver Stadium. You got the farms and so forth. The only other buildings that are right next to Beaver Stadium happen to be the baseball park, which is the only reason Joe was not crazy about where they put the baseball park, because it took up the parking for the suites. Not the suites, but the club seats. He was hoping they'd build, he wanted them to build it, but he was hoping they'd build it a little further down the street. Another topic, another day. But, and the Jordan Center, those are the only, and there's space in between. There's big lots on either side of that. Ohio State has buildings around it. St. John, the Blackwell Hotel, campus buildings. Ohio State doesn't have a lot of parking around it. Indiana has a ton of parking around it, but they have nobody going to the game. Illinois has a ton of parking around it. Same story. They don't really have a lot of people going to the game. Northwestern's too packed in on one side. You got a street, residences, and then you got the baseball, softball field, and the basketball arena right next to it. So, boom, crowded. Minnesota. Minnesota's parking's not bad. That stadium's got, they put a lot of thought into that place. Minnesota's not bad. Williams is across the street, but down just a little bit. The swimming and the hockey arenas are down a little bit further. So parking's not bad. So the parking situation here is better, but there's, I think it, when you go on the road as a fan, you do get an education that your situation is actually pretty good. Okay, so I hope we answered that. Is there anything else here?
No, that's all of them.
Oh, good. We got
for today.
Sean's great. Sean's really great. Sean's terrific.
I'll get you Deb's email. You can forward them to her.
Okay. Let's see. Suit is the greatest salesman ever.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's from a K. Her. Okay.
Get the I team somewhere from Danville.
And Marianne sent one today on the trade of Joe Flacco to the Broncos. She says it's going to be great for Deshaun Hamill. I think it will be. Although it's interesting about Flacco. Was it 2 years ago? Remember 2 years ago we were lamenting on this show about Flacco, how his yards per attempt were stunningly, shockingly low? I don't know what they're going to get out of him. I don't know. They're going to get the Joe Flacco from 4 years ago, or they're going to get the Joe Flacco of the last 2 years. One would think you're going to get the Joe Flacco of the last 2 years, but he's going to need time to throw it. Denver has not known for a long time what to do with their quarterback situation. Imagine sitting there and saying Brock Osweiler is your answer. Okay. So Joe Flacco goes to Denver. I think the Ravens are going to get a fourth-round pick out of this when it's all said and done. And Marianne's right. That could help a guy like Deshaun Hamilton. I want to say Deshaun averaged, 9 yards a catch this year? Some number like that? But that was the big national story today. I was talking to Patrick earlier today. And he says, "Hey, how about that Duke thing last night?" I said, "Yeah, but I said, Louisville's got to understand." I said, "When you're playing Duke, you start the game with 16 fouls." Okay. We will come back with more in a moment. Hopefully we gave everybody answers, that at least gave them answers to the very kind emails they sent in. We appreciate that. as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. A great move by the Phillies today with Aaron Nola. This is what I refer to as an arbitration contract. What this does is you take a young, budding star, which Aaron Nola is. He is the ace of this staff for the next few years. And you give him a contract where he's going to be paid. You completely avoid the pitfalls and the hard feelings of arbitration. And believe me, arbitration can cause problems. Because the player will go in saying, look, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And the team comes back and says, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And the player's in there like, what? And it creates hard feelings. It creates a problem. Well, that's why, and the Pirates were really one of the first ones to do this, but that's why you have to be smart. You have to identify a young player like Aaron Nola and say, you know what? We're going to make sure that we're going to give you a deal that avoids arbitration and lets you know that we're committed to you. The Phillies did that with Aaron Nola. I thought that was a really smart move by them. Those are the kind of deals I like. That shows good management. It shows good management sense when you do that. And the Phillies did that with Aaron Nola. Smart. And Jamie, by the way, believe me, I want to be in the NCAA tournament every year. But also at the same time, I mean, ask yourself why certain teams keep getting in all the time. Why does Syracuse get in all the time? Syracuse like barely hangs on by its thumbnails, but every year Jim Boeheim and Syracuse get in. And the Oklahoma thing is baffling. Now, I know they had one of the top players in the country last year. But Oklahoma last year, and now Oklahoma this year, Oklahoma's on everybody's bracket this year. They're losing one game after another. Okay. All right. That's why I look at some of this sometimes, and you feel like you're the group that not only has to win, but you have to win not only almost every game, but win big to convince everybody that, you know, hey, you know, we should be in. Because last year's team, we all knew it was an NCAA team. Last year's team, you know, finishing 500 in the Big Ten normally is good enough to do it. They were 500 in the Big Ten. They were 9-9. Then they won two games in the Big Ten tournament. So you include the tournament, they were 11-10. 1 year, Penn State was 10-8 in the Big Ten and didn't get in. Look around. I mean, that team, that's the team that won the NIT in 2009. They were 10-8 in the conference. They're only the fifth team in the history of the Big Ten to be over 500 and not get in. So every once in a while, it's not just what you do, it's how you're perceived. Like, you can't do enough. Other people need to do less. Fair? Life's not fair. Look at Sean. Look who he's stuck with on this show.
I don't know about that. But, you know, but look at the other coaches in the conference. I mean, you know, Beilein, you know, Purdue's head coach, Chris Collins, you know, they've all talked, you know, and Tom Izzo all this month, have said, you know, they're this close, one play away, and it's a great team, you know, even though they have that record this year.
Right. But believe me, I do take Jamie's comment to heart, though, because Jamie's right. And look, you've got to somehow get to the NCAA tournament. That's the gold standard, and Jamie is absolutely correct about that.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.